You're tuned into We Talk Radio Network.
Welcome to the Mind, Body, and Soul, hosted by your very own Big Joe. He'll put you in the know. No, 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 of your mind, body, and soul.
Work it, work it. Come on. I want you to prophesy to somebody like this. Say,
Welcome to the mind, body, and soul. Hosted by your very own Big Joe. He'll put you in the know. No, 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 no. Of your mind, body, and soul.
Welcome to the Mind, Body, and Soul show with your host, Big Joe. I am Big Joe, holding it down with T. Smiley. T. Smiley, are you with me?
Yes, sir. I'm in the building. Yeah.
How you doing today, sir?
Man, doing good, man. Doing good. Feeling good.
We on another show,
so hey.
That's always a beautiful thing. That's always a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
How you like producing so far, T? I gotta ask.
Well, you know what, man? It's cool, man. It's different. You know, I get to see a different side of the show. You know, a different side of this, and you know, can't touch this. You know what I mean? You gotta come with it.
You gotta come with it. Hey, T. Smiley, why don't you give me another song in real quick, and then we'll get into conversation real quick. How about that?
That we got you, man. Here we go right now.
Let's rock.
Maybe I succeeded a little. I jumped up from the floor to the middle. You think I want the credit? I don't. Cause the glory ain't made for me, no. I know who sits on the throne. And writes the songs. And I know I couldn't do this on my own. And as much as I complain, I've seen more sunshine than rain. And I could thank my lucky stars, but that's not where my blessings are. No, they come from the Father's heart, not the sky, not chance. But truth is, I'm not lucky. my lucky star, 'cause that's not where my blessings are. No, they come from the Father's heart, not the sky, not chains. But truth is, I'm not lucky, I'm loved.
Welcome to the Mind, Body, and Soul Show with your host, Big Joe. I am Big Joe, holding it down with T. Smiley. I hear we got a couple of guests in the building right now, T. Uh-oh. I think I done lost T. Smiley.
No, I'm here.
T.
Sir.
Smiley.
I got you. My bad. I'm here. My bad. I'm here.
All right. Do we have a couple of guests on tonight? Do we have anybody with us?
I believe we have Ricky here with us. What's up, Rick?
Nah, not much, man. Just tuned in. Man, I really enjoy what y'all got going on, so I feel like just sitting back really getting some of this free game y'all got to offer.
That's what's up. That's what's up.
We're going to ask you to join in with the conversation today.
Yeah.
We're going to pretty much talk about police brutality. We're going to talk about a couple of things. The first thing... Again, this is the Mind, Body, and Soul Show, and I am your host, Big Joe, holding it down with T. Smiley.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Ricky is in the building, and I'm sure the boss, Kia D, is here somewhere.
Well, she is here.
She is here. So we're going to have a nice little conversation. You know, we was talking earlier today about police brutality. And how right now it seems as there are a lot of people that are being hurt, killed by the police officers. We're referring to the ones that have been shot, killed, and had no weapon. My suggestion or my thought earlier was, shouldn't the same capital offense crime or punishment be placed on the police officer when they are found in the wrong, instead of a paid vacation? Shouldn't they get the same punishment that a regular civilian would get if they was to shoot at a police officer? Is life only matter, or is life only valuable at the police, for the police officers, or for the citizens who the police officers are supposed to be protecting and serving? What's your thoughts on that, Rick?
Man, it's really scary, man, because the way it looks, man, it don't seem like they value our lives too much. You know what I mean? It's like when, like you said, when something happens and the police officer does it, then they get paid leave. But if you let the same thing happen and someone else does it to a police officer, then they get a capital offense, man. And it just really looks like it's a messed up situation that we have to deal with, man.
It does. What about you, T? You want to jump in on this conversation?
Oh, yeah. I was just sitting back. They should have the same punishment. There shouldn't be no freebies, if I would say. Nobody should get, the green light or the okay just to get by on something, man. If we gotta deal with consequences, they gotta deal with consequences too. Regardless if they off duty, on duty, it don't matter. Like seriously, even if you off duty, you still have to announce yourself as a police officer. You got to show a badge. You got to do something. So, I mean, yeah.
It really just makes you wonder, though, man, where do we stand in this situation? You know what I mean? Because it's too many people that are losing their lives, man, that don't even, like he said, unarmed, for one. That's the big picture. They're unarmed. They're not causing a threat. And then another thing is the police are doing it, the ones that's supposed to protect and serve, man. So the question is, where do we really stand in this situation?
Well, it sounds like to me we stand to me, it sounds like we stand as target practice.
There it is.
I'm sorry, but that's the truth. I mean, if you got a if you got somebody with unarmed and got their hands up or not showing any kind of sign of violence or nothing like that, and you still just shoot them cold blood, I mean, that's target practice.
And we know, we all know, man, that's not protocol. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Now, the is Kia B still with us? Does she have anything she want to join in on?
You know what? I just want to say I 100.
Uh-oh, you're breaking up on me, Kia. I think we lost Kia.
My apologies. I agree with T. Smiley. You know, at the end of the day, we should be able to trust in our police officers. We should be able to trust in what we call back the blue. And we can't trust them. You know, we can't trust them to protect us. We want to protect them. We want to, though. We want to be able to call the police and believe that when we call the police that we will be helped and not we won't be accidentally looked at as the perpetrator.
Uh-huh.
Because that also happens. You know, a black man calls somebody, you standing outside arguing with a Caucasian man and police pull up, black man and a white man arguing, police go automatically, you go straight towards the black man thinking he's a threat. But the black man called the cops. It has happened before. Security guards at their job have called the police on Caucasian people or just whoever. But it just so happens to be a Caucasian man. When the police arrive, they see the security guard in his uniform go straight to him thinking he's a threat.
Mm-hmm.
And forget that there actually was somebody that needed help here, and they should have started asking questions instead of automatically assuming, because when you assume, you make an ass of yourself, excuse me.
That's it. That's right, though.
So I 100% agree, but I think it's time for us to begin the community policing that we used to do many years ago. It worked.
Right.
If we can get back to community policing, we can start to trust the police officers that are in our community again, because they'll know us. And we know that they'll have our best interest at heart. Right now, we just don't know what to trust. And I think we, you know, at the end of the day, we want to believe and trust that when we call 911, we're going to get services that we deserve and need. But at the end of the day, we just don't know. People are skeptical about calling 911. So you got women who are being abused at home right now. Because why? They don't believe that they're going to, one, be believed. They're going to get the services that they need. They're going to be helped. Their privacy is going to be upheld. There are so many different levels and things to that. I mean, you know, they make a joke usually of women when they go down there and talk about domestic violence and sexual assault. Then they give you a piece of paper and tell you, hey, if he comes near you, show him that piece of paper. That the restraining order. What the heck is that going to do? You hold it up in his face while he got the gun on the other side?
And it ain't going to serve one purpose.
Right.
Now, a question has been asked to me, and I'm going to present it to you guys. Do you think that your neighborhood would be better policed if the police officer in your neighborhood was from your neighborhood?
Well, I don't know. It's really, from where I'm at, man, that's really hard to say, because the town of Blytheville, Arkansas is real small, man. So you get a lot of officers who were raised up around a lot of these people that's in these neighborhoods, man. It's just, I don't know, man. It's here, I feel like, man, it's more of a stereotypical thing. It's so many people that's going into a wrong direction that they think all of us are the same way. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean,
right.
Where I'm
right.
at, man, it's just, I mean, it's a toss-up. So my answer really to that would be, no, not really. That's just coming from where I stay at, though, man. It's real different down here, which, I mean, I know it's the same thing everywhere you go, but, man, it's just... It's more here because it's such a small area and it's so much crime here, man, that I don't believe it will, man. It's not going to change because there's a lot of police officers that are on the force that are from the same hoods that we live in right now, right here, man, and they still doing the same thing around here.
Yep.
So what do you think is to
help with that situation, to help alleviate that the stress and the strain of that? Because there is a, you know, a problem with that particular situation, of course, when we have officers that are still doing the same thing that they shouldn't be doing when they're police officers now. They are supposed to be held upholding the law. And in our neighborhoods, and that's not all neighborhoods, but if we are growing up in our neighborhoods and then policing in our own neighborhoods, what do you think is a good suggestion for us to turn it around so that the police officers that grew up in the neighborhood and that are in the neighborhood policing it, you know, how can we turn it around and make it change, make it better?
My personal opinion, I feel like we as a community going to have to show them that it's not all of us that are this way. You see what I'm saying? And
right.
And I feel like that's the only way you're going to get some sort of a change out the situation, because as long as they hit every corner and they see this going on, they see killing going on, this, that, and the third, they're going to continue to do it. But if even the people, that, I'm going to say this, even the folks that's out here doing what they want to do as far as being in the streets or whatever, even if they come together and we can kind of unite and show them it's a bigger picture than what we doing out here, a lot of them, and I hate to say it this way, but I feel like a lot of people do it because there's not that many jobs where I'm at. There's not, and it's so it's just that's what they accustomed to, and that's the only way they see to be able to take care of their family and stuff. But in the same token, it's not all about the negativity about it. Sometimes it is about the income, because you got to realize this, man, it's just the community. They look at it. People see, okay. And you know, I ain't gonna say I'm for dope dealing or I'm against it. You see what I'm saying? But I'm saying, man, I support a man that has to do what he has to do to take care of his family. But I just feel like, man, we have to come together. If we could come together and show them that there's more positive in this community than negative, and we open the eyes to show them, man, we need y'all help too, then maybe to make a difference. But I feel like as long as the community is going against the grain 100% and not trying to make a difference so we can make a difference in the police force, it'll never change.
I agree. And they're looking at us like, well, they're killing themselves, so what's the big deal? You know, when we go
right,
back
there
to
it is.
The Boosie. Yeah, for real. If we go back to Boosie
point.
And Motory and all of those situations, of course, they'll bring that up. Well, I mean, you're killing yourself, so what are you complaining about, right? And we have so many problems within our own black community that we're trying to fight within just the black community.
That's it.
I mean, it is like, oh, man. And that's why we continue to do radio shows like this, so that we can continue to bring a positive and spread a positive message and word across to the masses.
Right. Well, I do want to say this, man. I appreciate y'all letting me tune in for one, and that's the reason I had to come right back, because y'all got so much free positive game to give people, man. This right here, what y'all are doing really is gonna make a huge difference as far as me and coming together and hitting at these subjects, man. I salute it. That's why, man, I got to be here. Y'all are gonna make a difference with what y'all got going on.
And listen,
you
brother,
know,
we come. We coming to Arkansas, bro. So make sure you spread the word, dog. Cause I'm telling you, just by you being on here, bro, and seeing how it is, man, you can get the word out. So when we coming full force, bro, and then they'll know about us. So I appreciate you, my brother. I appreciate you.
Oh yeah.
I will say this, two things real quick. One thing is the Mind, Body, and Soul Show, Kia. Thank you for helping and the whole nine to even bring it to life. But the show is actually about helping somebody. If I can't help somebody on this show, then there's really not a whole lot of purpose for it. And that's just my own personal little thing. I want to help somebody.
Right.
One of the things that you said, which makes a big difference, Kia D, was you said people are saying, well, we're doing it to ourselves. What's the difference? We have got to hold ourselves accountable for our actions,
mm-hmm.
and other people as well. It is no longer time to just let everything just get swept up under the rug.
Yep.
It's time to hold people accountable for their actions and to for you to be held accountable for your actions as well. If we start showing more love to ourselves, then maybe we can get some love from the police.
Uh-huh.
Now, the scary part about what Tia D said was she said, well, what's the difference? Well, in my opinion, the difference to, for those who want to know what the difference is, if we kill ourselves, you better believe we're going to get the time for the crime.
Uh-huh.
They kill us and they get an accommodation and some off days.
Man, I think it'll even one further. You can go get a meal in Burger King drive thru. Remember the guy that shot up the church in North Carolina? What did he get? He got a free meal.
He got a free
and a
meal.
Oh, man, that's
bullet,
crazy.
And a bulletproof vest.
So, I mean, now this is the... this is the scary part about this conversation. You ready? You got to take the good, the bad with everything. Just like we have good and bad preachers, just like we have good and bad men, just like we have good and bad women, you have good and bad police officers. The scary part is with every... what were you getting ready to say?
I said, you said we have good and bad police officers. Yeah, that's true. But how can you tell the good from the bad? You don't know.
That's what I was getting ready to say.
Yep.
The same way that, again, that's the scary part about it, is because when they put on that uniform, you're automatically thinking good. You're not thinking, oh, when you see that cop, oh, that's a bad cop.
Right.
But now, you really don't know.
Uh-huh.
The same way you don't know when you pull me over. This is the one of the reasons why I brought up the conversation. If you give a police officer the same capital offense or the same capital punishment that you would give a civilian for shooting at a police officer, you may have him not reaching for his weapon so quickly.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And that's all it takes. It takes setting that example, man.
It's not about letting the police officer get in harm's way, because again, we're not hoping that the police officer get hurt, but the same way he want to go home, I want to go home too. I shouldn't feel like, oh Lord, this is the day because I got pulled over.
Uh-huh.
So if you give them stiffer punishment, if you give the laws the same equal punishment that you would give a civilian for shooting at a police officer or even killing a police officer, then you won't have them reaching for that gun so quick. They might reach for the taser a little quicker.
And that's the thing about it, man, with that taser situation, man. If I'm not mistaken, that's protocol. Before you go in with lethal action, you're supposed to at least try to go in with non-lethal action. But that's not happening. They coming in with guns drawn first and foremost, and that's the crazy part about it.
Uh-huh.
Now, again, I can kind of – I mean, we're not police officers, so we don't – we've never seen the situation where we're going up to this car with one person and we don't know this person and this car is registered to somebody else and the tags is out. And that's all I'm pulling them over for, but this person didn't rob somebody or this person is high and got a gun. They have to defend themselves. I can kind of understand that. They have to defend themselves. But how many times have we seen the unarmed man? I'm not talking about the armed man. I'm talking about the one that's not armed. Can't find a gun nowhere, and he'd have been shot 17 times, really?
And got his hands up. It's sad, man.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, you're right.
I'm not talking about the one that done wrong, and because at the end of the day, the police officer is supposed to save his own life, you know what I mean? He's supposed to. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But how many? I'm not talking about the one that done wrong. I'm talking about the one that, you remember a couple of years ago, it was a man that got pulled over. Told the police officer, man, I got a license to carry. The officer told him, well, reach in your arm and reach in your armrest and give me your license. He reached in his armrest to give him the license, and the cop shot his arm, killed him in front of his fiance and his child.
That sounds like that was his intention to begin with in the first place. Then,
and again, not saying how many times have we seen them get off? How many times have we seen very light punishment give to them? But if the shoe was on the other foot to the civilian, they would have lethal injection. What is the difference? Especially if you're supposed to be working for me. Your job is to protect me. Your job is to serve me. It's not to harm me.
Mm. It seems like that's just the way the system is, though, man.
Kia, you look like you want to say something over there. Talk to me, Kia.
Man, listen. You know, life is real. And, we shouldn't waste it. The cops shouldn't take a badge and a gun if they're not going to police properly.
Mm-hmm.
And take care of all of the people that are in their jurisdiction, not just the people that they like or the people of the color that they like, or the color spectrum, if you will. You know, so I just think it's unfair. But at the end of the day, what has been fair since we got here, right?
Period.
So why would we expect, all of a sudden, why would we expect something to be fair, right? We've never been given fair. We've taken fair, and we've made it our own. It's called chitlins, and nobody won't know chitlins.
I love chitlins.
We done turned it into a whole delicatessen. Okay.
Got you choked up over there, huh? About them chitlins.
Yeah, he did. I wouldn't expect the chitlins. That took me back home
right there. She said chitlins, man. I'm sorry. I threw the conversation off, but yeah.
No, you good. Don't be stinking up my house.
So that was my next question. Do y'all eat chitlins?
Bro, you already know my answer, bro. We're from the same place.
Because I got 2 10-pound buckets. I'm figuring cook with Thanksgiving as is. I got to have them.
Brother. Hey,
matter of fact,
I'll be coming to your crib, dog.
Don't even talk about chitlins. Don't even talk about chitlins no more, just in case anybody want to get any ideas in the family.
That's something you just don't do, Big Joe?
No, we just, I mean, I have family members and I got people that do them, but no, I ain't doing no chilling.
You don't know what
you love.
I'm good.
I'll
be all
right. Watch this. Ricky, what's the number one thing you put on chitlins after you cook?
Hot sauce. You better know it.
Yes, sir.
Hot sauce.
You better know it.
I know the ingredients. That don't mean I eat it.
That
I know the ingredients. That don't mean I eat it.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm from Arkansas. We eat that pig from the rooter to the tooter.
It was from the rooter to the tooter.
Y'all go right ahead. Y'all go right ahead.
But if you think about where that came from and why we started eating the pig from the rooter to the tooter.
Uh-huh. What?
Yeah,
we didn't have the roast in the steak.
Right.
That Masterman had on the inside of the house.
Yeah, you right about that.
It was
what was available. We had to eat what was left over. We had to eat what was left over.
Yeah, yes. You right.
And we took those leftovers and turned it into something that people from generations and centuries later are still talking about because it's so good. Now, unfortunately, I don't eat chitlins. I don't even want to be around them. But I understand.
You just ain't had the right person put their feet in them.
I respect the chitlin, though. I respect the chitlin, and I respect the chitlin and everything it stands for. I'm just saying. I don't eat it, but I do respect the chitlin.
Oh, yeah.
Been through a lot.
That right there sums it up, man.
A lot been through it. But it's still good with my sauce and some seasoning. We good.
Yeah, I'm going to take them down through there.
Right.
I'll tell you what, T, how about you give me a song real quick, and then we'll get back into more conversation right here on Mind, Body, and Soul.
Yeah.
I said it'd be good to you. Y'all don't mind. I wanna take my time.
Our producer, Kia D. You guys still with me?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Oh, hey.
Hey, that was my jam right there, man.
Glad you enjoyed it. Glad you enjoyed it. Kia, you had a question for us.
Oh, I did. Okay. My bad. Sorry about that, guys.
I don't know what that
was. So, with everything that's happening right now in the world and with all of the youth right now that are just kind of running amok with a lot of time on their hands, you know, we had a situation in Dallas a couple weeks ago where we had like 10 people that were shot, some were killed in a 2-week time period. And one of those is a young man named Mo 3.
Little Boosie, of course, was shot here in Dallas. You know, there was just a lot, there's a lot of things that were happening all at once. And I really wanted to know, you know, from you guys who are men, what do you guys feel about, like, the state of our youth, their mental state? You know, do you think that these things are happening because of COVID? Are they bored? You know, is it, of course, the stuff that's been happening for years. We've been fighting and bickering and shooting each other. But, you know, it's amped up, especially here in Dallas. They're calling us the new Chi-Town. So I just want to get you guys' opinion on it, just seeing how you feel about the state of our young men's minds, especially since they're out there killing each other.
Chief Smiley, I'm going to let you go first.
All right. I think it's a lack of, mentors. They don't, I mean, if you young men, you know, if you out there, you know, heavy in the street, you lacking wisdom and mentorship from, you know, people that's, you know, that you can learn something from. I mean, they're not learning nothing. If you out here in the streets gonna raise you. So they only doing what they see. They only doing what they think they know, or how they think they know how to survive, or whatever the case may be. And that's not the way. But you know, you can't. I don't know. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, they don't have nobody to talk to, and I feel like the only way they can be heard is through violence, through their mind. You know what I'm saying? That's where I think it is. I mean, I could be wrong, but, I mean, that's my thought.
Wow. Mr. Ricky, you still with me?
Yeah, I'm still here, man.
Help me out.
Man. It's just like T. Smiley said. It's the mentorship, man. It's just when you got so much music that's coming to the youth, and it seemed like, first off, I do want to say rest in peace Mo 3, and you know, rest in peace King Von, because this also happened to him down in Atlanta, man. It's so many young people that are following the musicians, because I mean, music plays a big impact into our lives, and you get every video, it seems like every video you look at, every song you hear, somebody got a chopper, they killing the ops, they doing this, that, and the third, and that plays a big part when you see it, like here in Blauer, man. You can't go down the street without seeing a group of guys standing outside, and every one of them got a pistol in their pocket. And I feel like it's because they want to be more like these rappers. They think that everything that glitters is gold, and it's not. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Right. That's good.
You know,
that is amazing.
The solution.
That is an amazing point. Hold on. I got to go there real quick, because that is amazing.
Go there,
point.
But I also want to know what the solution is.
The solution, in my personal opinion, the solution is, man, it's hard to really say, but because you got so many dominant negative rappers, I'm not saying like that, because I listen to a lot of rap music myself, but you don't have to indulge in it just because you hear it, you know what I mean? Just, you don't have to play follow the leader. You also can stand as a man, look yourself in the mirror, and realize you got to change, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but there's a point of also, have you, if you don't mind me asking, Mr. Rick, how old are you?
I'm 32 years old.
32. You don't necessarily listen to the same rap that you used to listen to when you were younger.
No, that's it. Yeah, that's the thing about it.
And when you were listening to that rap, and I hate to go there, but I have to. When you were listening as a young child, did it not bring on a certain attitude because of what you heard?
Oh, yeah, you better know it. You want to be like the next man.
Someone said something to me, and it's very interesting, because now it's, with this conversation, it is opening up something. That someone has said, and what they said was, you do understand that your ears are a doorway too.
Mm.
there are times when we listen to this music, and it's funny because I don't listen to rap no more, and it seems like my attitude has gotten a whole lot better because I'm not listening to the same thing that I was listening to, waking up 8 o'clock in the morning, listening to hardcore rap music from the time you wake up until you go back to sleep. You're listening to hardcore rap, and then all of a sudden you have a certain attitude.
That's right.
Because you done got all this hate music off in you, and I hate to call it hate music, but it's not promoting love. It's not promoting love. It's not promoting peace. It's not promoting prosperity unless it's off the hands of drugs. So once you continue to feed your body, once you continue to feed your inner man, your soul, all this negativity, how can you find positive?
It's hard to, man, and it's as simple as that, man. You are what you eat, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
you guys said something about role models, which was extraordinary, but it's crazy that our youth has to find role models on TV.
That's sad.
Wow.
That's horrible.
Now, this is my question to you, Big Joe. Is it because there's not enough motivational people or positive people that's not playing their part? Or is it just because it's because of the ears, like you say?
I think it's a little bit of both.
That's right.
I believe that there are many that are doing it positive, but we just don't focus on the ones that's doing positive because, to be real, the ones that's doing it positive ain't even making no money.
Well, there it is, right there.
The thing about it is, yeah, the ones that's actually doing right or doing good, no, they're not putting the spotlight on that as much as they are for the ones that's doing bad, and then they wrong for doing is put out there in the open. So they don't receive even if you are doing something good, they're not gonna receive your word or nothing you have to say because all they think about is the bad. Now what I mean by that is we're talking about positive role models. Well, let's talk about, and it don't always got to go to church, but let's talk about preachers. You know what I'm saying? Let's talk, and I'm not talking about them specifically, but what I mean is, if you got a positive role model and they're doing something good, and you got this one preacher that's doing good, and all that stuff is good, everything is good, the limelight not gonna be shined on him versus the preacher that done got caught up last week, you know, coming out of a hotel with another man. You know what I mean? Stuff like
everybody
that.
Like juicy gossip. That's what it is, man. They like to hear
right.
that juicy.
Right. Right. If it ain't juicy, I don't want to hear it. If it's right,
that's
okay,
it.
That's cool. But I want to hear what this one did, and it's all that juicy news, and you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they sometimes probably would prefer to go and listen to some rap or listen to, you know, whatever that's going get them through, or you know, in they sense to get them through.
Well, this is another good question. I mean, or is the new generation just lazy because they hear that there's a easier way than going out here hustling, and not hustling as far as illegally, but as far as going out here and finding you a job and working for what you got? They hear these folks talking about, oh, I can go out here and sell all this and do this and run up $1 million. Does that entice them more to go off and do that?
Yeah. Yeah,
I think the solution to both problems starts within the home.
There it is.
I think it starts within home, and because we are men, I gotta go on and say it and be real. there's not enough men in the family, in the home, that's actually showing the other way. It's sad because our kids are, or our youth are having to look up to the TV or athletes, or there's nobody looking up to daddy anymore.
Well, you know, there's
nobody, there's nobody looking at daddy as a role model anymore.
I can speak on that. I was raised by a single parent, and you know, I'm not gonna lie. Like, you know, going through junior high school, you know, even elementary, you know, you look at, you know, you talking about it starts at home, but at the same time, like if you don't know that my parents are not together and they're living in the same house, and you know, I was searching for, trying to figure out how do I do this, how do I do that. Oh, somebody got to teach me how to do that. And I'm not going to lie, it was a point in time in my life where I had to not necessarily turn to the streets, because that's nothing. I mean, I know, not at all. But I look to going over friends' house and seeing their parents together and try to figure out, you know, how I can, you know, feel that same feeling that my friends feeling, because they have both of their parents in the house. They have their daddy to go to and talk to. It's hard, man. I'm telling you right now, it's hard, because right now to this day, like it's a lot of stuff that I question about, you know, as far as what a man's supposed to do, how a man's supposed to be, because I never seen that. I never seen it.
That's right.
Why? Because I was raised in a single parent home, but that don't necessarily mean you have to turn to the streets. Now, granted, I could have, but again, you talking about stuff coming through your ears. It's not even hearsay. It's eyes. Be careful what you hear. Be careful what you see. Be careful, you know, all that stuff. Because, what's going to happen is, no matter if it's positive, you're gonna think positive no matter what you're going through. But if it's negative, and you don't have no foundation of a father or whatever in your life, the situations and the things you get into is only going to be based on what you listen to and what you see. So,
in my personal opinion, I think that uncles are amazing, but they're just that—they're uncles. They won't teach you the things that a father would teach a son. For
Absolutely.
Real.
With
uncles, watch this. With uncles, you ain't got a girlfriend, you might be funny. With daddy, it's boy get schools over girls. It is a complete difference.
No.
I
guarantee you, if you had a Rolling Stone daddy, you would have a father that say, hey man, that's your girlfriend? Yeah. Well, if she ain't give you none, you better go on and get you another one that will.
Yeah. And that brings up a whole nother conversation, because just because I'm in the home don't make me a good daddy.
All right, there you go. See, I was waiting for somebody to say that.
Okay.
And that's speaking. I want to chime in on that, because that's a major topic for me. Me, man, let me tell you something. I love my daddy. My dad is an amazing man, but my daddy was so focused on working and putting food on the table that he wasn't there. You see what I'm saying? And so me personally, as a father, that's what taught me how to be a better father was, and I hate to say it this way, because like I say, I honor and I'm thankful for my daddy, but I learned from his mistakes. Him always on the go, never spending time with his son, is what made me want to spend more time with my kids, so they don't have to have the upbringing that I had, because mine might as well have been a Rolling Stone, but he was in the house. You see what I'm saying?
You better preach that, brother. I feel you on that, man.
again, so help us out. What would be the solution? What would be the solution? How could we reach the youth right now if there was somebody listening to us and they're under the age of 18 and they're wondering, okay, I got all of this negativity around. How do I find stability? How do I find peace? How do I find what is your response? What is your answer to them?
My answer, honestly, would be before I can even speak to that person, I am a observer. So I will sit back and I will have to be, because you're talking about you're talking about a person, but you are also talking about a soul. So it's all spiritual. If you think about it, you can't just go talk to somebody and expect them to change based off of something that you assume or something that you ain't never been through. You know what I mean? It's a spiritual thing. So before you can even speak to somebody and try to encourage somebody, you have to first kind of pray. Well, I ain't gonna say kind of. You have to pray about that. You have to ask God for the words to say, give you the words to say, because anything you can say to a person right now that's dealing with something like that, no matter if you think it's right, it might not be right in that moment for that person. So you have to have the words to say. You have to have the time to think about it. You have to just sit there and just kind of meditate on the wording. Get God's direction. Get Him to speak through you so you can speak to somebody. Because we can say all day, I will say this, I will say that, but that might not be the right time, or that might not be the right wording for that individual at that very moment. So. Me, I would take time, and even if somebody wanted to answer right now, I'd be like, I'm sorry, I have to get back with you, because you need time to think about this situation. You need time to, you know, meditate and pray about it. So that's I'm sorry, but that's what I would do.
Well, I'm gonna say, man, I agree with what you're saying, T. But
hold
also,
on,
man, it's
on.
About.
Hold on, before you
okay,
go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Before you go there, I want you to answer another question for me. That was T. Smiley's question.
Okay.
For your question, to the fathers that's listening, who's at home or who, you know, got today off and he's listening to the Mind, Body, and Soul show, and all he does is work, and he thinks that that's what it takes to be a man, because that's all he's seen. Or that's all he knows. Maybe it's not what he's seen, because maybe he hasn't seen anything. So he's going off of what he heard. And what he heard was a man was supposed to work for his family. A man is supposed to take care of his family. And he thinks it's just financial. What advice could you give him right now?
Man, it's not that, man. I understand that you got to put food on the table and you got bills you got to pay, man. But sometimes, man, your kids would like to just be able to sit beside you at the kitchen table while y'all eat. It's not all about him sitting there and just wondering, like, okay, I might have all the best clothes and the Jordans, but it's just like 1 Corinthians 13 say, I have not love. You see what I'm saying? Like, I don't have love. You need to give your kids the most that you can give them as far as attention wise. Man, you got that money, it comes and goes, but love, it lasts forever, man. And that's what really sets the greatest example. That's what really will teach your kids how to move forward in life and teach their kids, and their kids teach their kids, man. It's more than money, man. I mean, you got to take care of your business, but do not ever lack when it comes to giving time to your family, man, because that's where it really matters. That's what keeps everybody whole in your house, man. And that's the advice I got, man.
Wow. That's just
being relatable to it. You see what I'm saying? I can relate to that, man. I know how that feels. You see what I'm saying? So I know what it's like to have somebody that only looked at finances, that'll give you the world when it comes to things that's material, but it's not always material things that you need, man.
Yep. Wow.
Yeah, T Smiley, how much time I got left?
You got about 18 minutes.
I got about 19 minutes. We're going to keep the conversation right going. D&D, I know you got something to say over there. I know you itching. I know. I'm looking at you. I see your face. Come on.
Hey, Big Joe, ask her the question again so she can give it to you straight.
I was just asking from a male's point of view. So I couldn't ask KD the same question. So I would have to ask you a different question because there's, as a mother, what could you do to try to reach your youth? You see what they're doing. You see the road that they travel in. And let's say it's a boy, and as you're raising your son, there are certain things that he needs. How do you help him out? How do you straighten him up and let him know that? What do you do? Help me out, kid.
Well, you know, I will tell you this. I wasn't blessed to have boys. I have two beautiful daughters. And I can tell you what I would do if I had boys. You know, one of the things that I will tell you is conversation and communication rules the nation. And if you communicate, not just talk to them, not talk at, but talk to, communicate with your children, I think it would open up doors for them to have the opportunity to feel like they're comfortable with you telling you things. I have a degree in education. One of the things that I will say is we can't blame the school district for what parents aren't doing at home. We do it all the time as parents. And I say we because I am a parent, so I'm not going to point any fingers here. But we will point fingers all day and say the school district didn't do, and the teachers didn't, and the counselors and the principals didn't. But what did I as a parent do that could have helped elevate or raise my child to another level while they were in my care? And it can't be left up to the school district to police and educate and provide all the resources and the food and everything else for these children. We can't just provide clothing for them and that's it. We can't just provide a roof and that's it. And that's what happens a lot of times. You know, in the hood, if we think about it, you know, there are a lot of amazing parents that are in the hood right now that raise their children, and sometimes every blue moon, a kid just kind of slips through that crack. You got two parents in the house, in hood, trying to raise their kids. That kid just slips through the crack. But a lot of times, you know, it's a single mom trying to raise their son, trying to raise their daughter, trying to make it happen. And the resources sometimes dry up. And we're so focused and busy and inundated with the streets, because that's where we are, in the streets. Life has consumed us in those streets, and it's become us. We've become that, and it becomes natural for us to become terrorizers of the streets. It just seems natural, but it's not. It's not natural. You know, unfortunately, it's like the chitlin circuit. That's all we were given was chitlin, so that's what we take. That's all we were given was this, and so that's what we take. But that's not really realistic. We just have to look a little bit deeper and pay attention a little bit more. There are so many more opportunities for us, but we let them pass us by. Why? Because we in the hood chilling on the corner. We selling dope. And my son out here, I get it. I'm from the hood. I trust me. I see it every day. I understand it. You know, we on our hustle. But we forget our children are watching us, and they're going to grow up with that same hustle. When we can take that energy of the hustle and turn it into something truly reputable and truly that can build houses and that can bring money and bring finances and sustain us for life. Instead, we stay on the corner, and we call it a lifestyle.
Well,
sorry if I was too deep for y'all.
That's what people need to hear, though.
What'd you say?
No, I was just saying that's what people need to hear.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, I grew up in Stop Six, Texas. I grew up on the south side of Fort Worth, Stop Six, Funky Town, Cow Town, whatever you want to call it, right alongside Big Joe. You know, we both grew up in the same neighborhood. We saw the same trials and tribulations. You know, so I understand what it is. My mom just decided, let me remove my child from this neighborhood before it's too late. She saw the pattern of the friends around me, and had she not moved me out of the neighborhood, I don't know where I'd be right now. I guarantee you I wouldn't be here. You know,
that's a real blessing right there.
My mom saw an opportunity for herself to move her children out of the hood, and she did that. Because my life was going downhill, and it would have remained downhill had I stayed where I was. Everybody's just not built for that. You know, some people gravitate to it, cling to it, and that just becomes their life. That would have been me. You know, Big Joe, he was in it. He didn't he clung to it probably a little bit. It just didn't consume him and become the rest of his life. He saw something different. You know, thank God my mama showed me something different, because what I was seeing was what I was becoming. That was my only option. That was the only thing I could see.
I'll tell you what happened to me. I'll tell you what happened to me real quick. It was real quick. I thought I was hard, and then God let some people touch me. And after He let some people touch me, I gave up my little hardness. I gave up my hardness right then. It's amazing when God will let something happen to you just to get your attention.
I know that's right.
And that's exactly what He had. And each and every one of us have had a story where it was nobody but God that helped us out and that got us through, and that we can try to rationalize it all we want to, but at the end of the day, we know it was nobody but God.
That's right.
And what was you getting ready to say, Mr. Ricky?
I know. I was just saying that's right, man. You know, just to tune in on that, man, you know, everybody, how can I say it like this? Sometimes everybody's chitlins don't taste the same. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes,
y'all just going to keep on with the chitlins till somebody show up with some chitlins at my house, and I'm going to be mad. Oh, I'm going to be mad.
Hey, but no, for real, though, man, you know, sometimes, I mean, and like you said, just to make it real short, man, God changed my life too, man. You got to go through a lot, man. Like, sometimes you have to go through it to get to it. Sometimes people can't, no one can lead you. Sometimes you have to learn from that and get wisdom from what you've been through, so you would know not to go back their way. And I'll keep this short too, man, but I'm going to show you how God changed my life, man. I'm one of those people that were entrapped into the streets. I got out of it through God, man, and being locked up, this, that, and the third. But to make a long story short, man, a few years back, I actually I got into a wreck, man, and, you know, I got charged with involuntary manslaughter because a young man died. And so I had to go to prison behind that, man. And that's why I say sometimes you have to go through it to get to it, man. But, you know, I it's a lot to it, but man, I'm going to say this. Within that time I was in prison behind it, man, God showed me Him. He showed me grace. He showed me love. He showed me how it feels to be loved and how it feels to have happiness, man. And that's why I say, man, everybody, children don't taste the same. Sometimes you do have to go through it to get to it, and I thank Him for that, man. But that sometimes that may be what the youth have to go through, going back to that subject. Sometimes that may be what the youth have to go through. Someone might be so knuckleheaded that they don't want to listen to other people, that they have to go through certain trials so they can get that wisdom and understand that this is not the way I want to go. I've been down that road before. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's amazing that you say that. Because while you were saying that, one of the things that popped into my mind is us as youth. If we would have listened to every piece of good advice that was given to us, we would be way better off.
I know that's right.
But we had to, or we said, oh, they don't know what they're talking about. It's whatever. This is my life. We've done the same thing that the youth are doing now. Until God had to show himself to us. God had to get us in a place to where we could see him and not hear nobody else. Not think that it was anybody else. We had to see, or we had to know that this was God moving. It was nobody else but him. It's funny because sometimes he'll have to put us in crazy situations. It's funny, man, because you said something and somebody reminded me of what I preach. And I want to give a shout out to you right there, Miss Yolanda. You reminded me of what I preached, and what I preached was meeting Jesus in the fire. And I was talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how they were in the fiery furnace. But while they were in the fiery furnace, they end up meeting Jesus. And it's funny because when they came out of the furnace, they didn't even smell like smoke.
Wow.
I heard a lot of people say it all the time. You don't look like what you've been through.
That's it.
Right here on Mind, Body, and Soul. Hey, T. Smiley, we only got a few more minutes left. Why don't you go on and play us out? Let me pray real quick.
All right.
Mr. Ricky, thank you. Thank you for
thank
joining
you.
In.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Hey,
man.
Hey, real talk, man. Thank y'all, man.
We'll be here every week. You can catch us every week. If you can't catch us here, you can catch a rewind. We will definitely be here. If you want to hear any past shows, you can go to www.wetalkradio.com. Any final comments before we pray out? Kia D, you got anything for us, Bob?
I do. On December the 6th, at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, we are truly excited to have the third annual Heels on the Move to Heal charity shoe fashion show. It's going to be a virtual reveal, and it's going to be a lot of fun. You can go to heelsonthemovetoheal.org for more information. That's Heels, H-E-E-L-S, on the Move to Heal, H-E-A-L.org. And it's going to be fun. You're going to see Big Joe. You're going to see T. Smiley. And you're going to see T. Smiley in a whole nother light. He's going to be emceeing that joint. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So it's going to be on December the 6th at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. It's going to be online. You can go to wetalkradio.com, or you can go to heelsonthemovetoheal.org, and you can find all of the information. Heels on the Move to Heal is a nonprofit organization that supports women, men, children who've been victimized and traumatized by domestic violence and or sexual assault. And so we support a lot of community partners. We support our beneficiary, who's the Denton County Friends of the Family. And we want to do what we can to support this organization and continue to make sure they have enough resources, and because the resources that they provide to the community are free. So we want to make sure they have enough free resources to go around for everybody. So make sure you tune in to that night. It's going to be a lot of fun. Thank you guys for the opportunity.
No problem. T. Smiley, you got anything you want to join?
No, man. I love the show on tonight. I would like to thank my longtime friend, Mr. Ricky, for being here, man. It's awesome. Awesome to reconnect. It's funny because before Instagram, just real quick before Instagram, man, I was in no connection whatsoever with nobody, you know what I'm saying? It's crazy because I wanted to connect with some people, but, you know, I didn't do social media. But now I got Instagram, man, and came across Ricky, man, and it
something told me to get him on and you know, so he can hear the show, talk on the show, and God knew what he was doing. That's all I gotta say. He knew what he was doing, and I'm so grateful and thankful to have him here on the show. And Big Joe, yeah, man, keep it up, bro. Keep it up.
No problem. Thank you for tuning in right here, Mind, Body, and Soul with Big Joe on We Talk Radio. Mr. Ricky.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm here, Joe.
Pray us out tonight, if you don't mind, sir. I'm going to give you the honor of praying us out.
Yes, sir. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you just thanking you for reconnecting us with people that we never knew could help us in our lives, God. I ask you just to continue to help these brothers push forward what they got going on, God. I ask you to just touch the youth, God. Show them that there's a better way. Put someone in their life or put something in their life, God, to open the light and show them you are the way, God. I thank you for just letting me be able to commune with these guys and just be able to share something that really needed to be shared on my behalf, God. You are truly in control of all. And I ask you just to continue to just bless all of us and hopefully get us out of this COVID mess soon, God. We love you. We cherish you. And we put you first, God. We ask all these things in your glorious, majestic, superior Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Mr. Ricky, stay on for a second. T. Smiley. All
right.
Yeah.
Play us something. You know, I really want to hear some Marvin Wine.
Bro, I got you. I'm already there. Here we go. I got you.
All right.
Cried so many hours trying to make it right, just didn't have the power, and you ignored all my in the hopes they disappear. I tried to let it go,
but I guess
you just don't want to know. And if I had a dime for every time I tried, that I could cope. Well, 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 I discovered I could make it. Oh, in nights so long and cold, so cold, you don't know how cold. I discovered I could take it. Now I wouldn't change a thing, no, no, not for the knowledge, not for the knowledge that I've gained. Let me say it like this, I learned that I could grow. Thank you. the chains just dropped off of me. But you just don't. I tried to tell you, I tried to show you, but let me tell you how I feel right now. I want you to know that I'm over. You can't hurt me no more, cause I'm over it now. Anybody feel like I feel? Stay with me, that I'm over. That I'm a long way from where I used to be. I'm not what I'm gonna be, but I feel you just don't. Can anybody know what I'm talking about this evening? Yeah, I try to let it show. I really did. I tried.
Nehemiah 8 and 6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen. Lifting up their hands, they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. When we receive a word from the Lord, our answer should be, Amen. Let the church say, Amen. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. God has spoken. So let the church say amen. Yeah. Let the church. Let them say amen. If you believe the word, let the whole church say amen. God has spoken. So let the church say amen. Lift your hands, lift your hands. God has spoken. So let the church say amen. No. Thank you, Lord. God has spoken. So let the church say
everybody.
Plans. his life to what his word says. God has spoken.
God has spoken.
Thanks for tuning in to We Talk Radio Network.